speaking on this program is Gary Cawley.
In Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, Jesus said, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have taught you, and lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world." You remember, too, that Jesus said to the apostles in John 16 and verse 13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever things he shall hear, these shall he speak, and he shall show you things which are to come." So as we discuss these things, we realize these words came through the Holy Spirit in the apostles, and they came from Christ to the Holy Spirit, and then, of course, to Christ, these words came from God. In John 17 and verse 8, he said, "The words that thou gavest me, I've given unto them, and they received them, and believed of a truth that I came forth from thee, and they believed that thou didst send me." So we understand these words are not the words of men, they are the words of God. And when we read these, we know that they are correct if they are translated in a right way. So we know that we also have a translation of the Greek language in the American Standard and in the King James Versions that are correct, and indeed they are for our blessing in life. In our study this week, we have discussed the topic of hell. And of course, it's not a popular subject. It is not one that men love to hear, but it is one we must hear in order that we may prepare ourselves for heaven. We realize that all Scripture inspired of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. But we're also taught to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. So, though there be many who deny the reality of hell, the Bible does teach it. And when we talk about the existence of a place called hell, many people turn from their desires to know what the Bible says about it. And I suppose that some think if they will ignore the teaching, then it will just go away, and there will not be any hell. There are some who completely deny hell. They think that we will be one day in annihilation. In other words, we'll just cease to exist like a rover that died in the clover. We'll just die all over when we die. My friends, man does have a soul. Paul thought not as the materialist thinks, but he said a man is outward and inward. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18, Paul said, "Though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For this light affliction which we have but for a moment worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight in glory, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So Paul believed there was an outward and an inward man. The outward man is decaying, going back to the dust, and soon will be in the grave. But the inward man, by the word of God being imbibed, is renewed day by day. We see then that man exists in three different states. One is in the physical body. Then another is in that time of separation from the body, and in that realm of existence called death. And in this time, he is, of course, a disembodied spirit who goes directly to Hades at his death. Now, in Hades, there is a place called Paradise, which Jesus and the thief went to, but there is also a place called Tartarus, 2 Peter 2:4, and that's where the wicked go to. They will be in punishment there until the day of judgment. So this third state of man, the Bible speaks of as an eternal state of the wicked and the righteous. In other words, glory and rejoicing will be eternal insofar as those who have lived correctly in this life, even after the judgment, they shall go from the place of called paradise in Hades to the place called paradise in heaven. But those who leave Tartarus will go into the place called Gehenna or hell. So as the Old Testament was written largely in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek, there are three different words expressing the ideas of these two places of abode. But for all of these, we need, of course, to make a good study. But in the New Testament, there are two terms that are used to present the place of abode of the dead. The term is Hades, refers to the same place as the Hebrew word and term Sheol, and Hades is a temporary place of abode of the dead. We've noticed with you Luke 16, verses 19 through 31, where the rich man and Lazarus and Abraham are all in the same place. One of them, though, is in the rest and the bosom of Abraham. That is Lazarus. But then there is one who is in the horrible punishment of that which is called Tartarus. Now this man has already begun his punishment, and it shall continue even into the hell itself. Now Hades is that temporary place then of abode of the disembodied spirits. It incorporates both paradise, and it incorporates Tartarus, and one, of course, being the place of the righteous, and the other for the wicked. As with Sheol, Hades does not refer merely to the grave, but a definite place of existence for the departed spirits that have gone before. Now, another term found in the original language of the New Testament is the term Gehenna. I've mentioned that before on this broadcast, but this word Gehenna has reference to the eternal place of abode for the wicked. It, then, is the place thought of most often when the word hell is used. The word is found some 15 times in the New Testament. You know, Jesus referred to it as a place into which the soul can be cast. Luke 12, verse 4 and 5. They shall be cast down to hell. It is referred to in Matthew 25, verse 41 and 46, and described as a place of everlasting fire, and also a place of everlasting punishment. Now that hell, my friends, is a reality. It can easily be seen from these and so many other references. If for no other reason, the fact that Jesus spoke of it and its existence should be, of course, abundant proof to each of us that it does exist. Well, where is hell? Do we know about its locality? You know, when presented with the idea of the existence of a place called hell, the natural question, I suppose, is to be asked, where is it? Children, when confronted with the death of a loved one, and the thought that they are gone to heaven, as their parents sometimes tell them, they often ask the question, well, where is heaven? And you know, it's only natural that such a thought would cross one's mind. However, try as one may, we cannot locate either heaven or hell on a map, or of the earth either way, or the constellations above. So then, just where is hell? Well, being bound by time as we are, humans naturally associate, do they not, everything in a time frame reference. And we have watches on our arms, we have clocks on our walls, we have calendars on our desk, and thus to comprehend timeless eternity is something that transcends human thought. We can't measure eternity, can we? One man said it was like perhaps dropping a drop of water out of the ocean on the land, and if you took one drop, every 1,000 years, by the time you got the ocean emptied, eternity would only be beginning. Well, that certainly illustrates a long length of time, doesn't it? And eternity is something that just simply transcends human thinking. Likewise, with road signs on the highways, maps in our glove compartments, and memories of from previous journeys, we naturally associate places with a distinct, precise locale. And to do otherwise, of course, is beyond the thought process of the human mind. Thus, if such a place as hell is existing and is presented to him, then the average man reasons that if it can't be shown to him or pointed out on a map, it must not exist. Well, my friend, simply because we can't locate it on a map doesn't mean it doesn't exist, nor heaven either. Now, heaven is always represented as up, isn't it? And hell is always represented as down. He cast them down to hell. Jesus ascended up into heaven. So in noticing these thoughts, we realize that it seems very likely that heaven is above and hell is beneath. But we do not know beyond that and cannot put a time frame nor put an existence in the place called hell except in these ways. We're hopeful that our study has been profitable to you, that you indeed have made up your mind you do not want to go to hell, and that you are convinced there is a place called hell.